101 WIXX Green Bay Fox Cities presents Talkin' Football with the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrivee. Now your hosts for Talkin' Football, Murphy, Katie, and Nick on 101 WIXX.
Nelson, Allison, and Cook to the left side. Janice and Adams to the right. Rodgers alone in the shotgun. Third down from the 10-yard line. Snap to Rodgers. Under pressure, scrambles left. Buying time, sets, looks, flushed again. Rolling left, throws end zone, diving grab.
Oh,
Geronimo Allison, touchdown Green Bay Packers.
Wayne Larrivee, Geronimo Allison. He's coming into his own, isn't he?
He sure is. The last couple of games, my goodness, four catches in each of those games, and at 91 yards the other night, at a beautiful catch. And, you know, you sit there, you watch him run his routes and get open out of the slot, and you're saying, oh, how was this guy not drafted, you know?
Yeah, he's really good.
They got a knack. They find him, Wayne. They find these guys.
You know, when you're drafting as late as the Packers do every round for every year because they're so good, you really have to have a pretty phenomenal scouting department, don't you?
You really do, and you have to find those rookie free agents, those undrafted college free agents. You know, I believe four or five of them made the roster this year for the Packers. You know, that's always been what they've been able to do. So ever since Ron Wolf got there, they are exhaustive in their, search for players. And they do not leave any stone unturned. And that's where you come up with some of these diamonds in the rough once in a while.
It's funny how the narrative changes, Wayne, not only for a team throughout the course of the week, and we've talked all season, week to week, in the NFL's 17-week schedule, but for the coaches, the general managers, now suddenly Mike can call a good game and Ted can find the diamonds in the rough, and it's amazing how it ebbs and flows, and here you are again, eight consecutive years in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's obvious it's not, I know it's only a 16-game schedule, but it's a marathon, it really is. And I just think of some of the teams that we played recently, you know, when you look at the Vikings and how the first game really had no relevance to what I didn't even look at the tape of the first game between the two teams because it had no relevance. The same thing with the Lions game. Same thing with the Giants. I mean, the teams are so different 10 weeks later. It's almost like they started a whole new season on you, you know?
Yeah. It's almost a trademark, though, of the Green Bay Packers, how resilient they are. At some point in the season, they hit rock bottom. Things look like we're done.
Everybody needs to be fired.
Right. And then all of a sudden, they find a way and turn it around. I mean, every year it's kind of like that, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a certain amount of, I call it fire branding, that you go through every season. You go through that dark period, that terrible period, or that when everything's really hot and the kitchen heat has been turned up big time. And then you eventually, if you're persistent, you get through that. And generally, it's pretty good on the other side. But getting through that is a hard part. But I got to tell you something, guys. They had lost 5 out of 6. They had lost 4 in a row. And, you know, I didn't see any evidence they were going to get this thing turned around. And I watch it pretty closely. I think it's just remarkable what they've been able to do.
And I think a lot of credit we give him so much credit, but Aaron Rodgers, for all of the narrative that was, what's going on with Aaron, what's wrong with Aaron, he's a little bit off, the offense isn't clicking, you know, eventually you got to turn your eyes on number 12, you got to look at this guy. In the end, he puts together one of his finest seasons, is in the MVP talk again, and is just nails right now. He's the guy nobody wants to face. He had a great turnaround.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, that's a big part of the whole thing, And I really think that, it's interesting, but when he went public and said, I think we can run the table or we're going to run the table, you sit there and I'm sure his teammates sat there and said, well, gee, if this guy thinks we can do it and he's willing to say it's stated publicly, then, you know, maybe we should start believing in this. And that's one of those mantras that they've taken into the second half of the season, run the table and get to the playoffs and win a division and get a home playoff game.
Wayne,
they were able to do all that.
Wayne, do you agree the MVP talk, should they not wait until the actual end of the season to make that decision? Should they not see how these quarterbacks or anybody gets through the playoffs before they decide? Why is it just regular season?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I guess because that's what the award is for. It's their postseason MVPs, you know, Super Bowl MVP, that type of thing. There's an award for that, but I think they also feel that if, the players that don't get to the playoffs that maybe have MVP consideration, that they would be at a disadvantage if, you know, the other guys got an extra game or two in the playoffs. to make their case.
I don't know. How often does it happen? You know, like how spectacular were you for your 4-12 team? You know, it's one of those.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
That it's. I guess that argument can go all over the place in terms of it's not my fault. Everybody else around me stinks, but at the same time, yeah.
I agree. I mean, I think the whole thing should be voted on after the playoffs and Super Bowl, to be honest with you. But, that's kind of the way it's always been. It's a regular season award.
Sure. All right, 720 WIXX Talking Football with Wayne Laird over here. And IXX, quick time out. More Wayne coming up.
Now back to Murphy, Nick, and Katie. It's Talking Football with Wayne Larrabee on 101 WIXX.
Two safeties high, soft coverage on the corners. Snap to Rodgers, looking around, has time, dumps it over the middle, and this is going to be a touchdown, Aaron Rutkowski.
Wayne the Ripper, he showed up strong the other night, didn't he?
You know, in these games like this, isn't it amazing how, guys you never would think would be playing a prominent role, end up playing a prominent role in the game, like, they were handing the ball to Aaron Rutkowski. I mean, long before I thought they would be doing that, they were handing it to him in the first quarter.
And sure.
He was producing. 9 carries, 61 yards, caught the touchdown pass there, a 7-yarder, and he played big. He and Geronimo Allison. Now, go back to this summer, and could you have predicted that in the last week of the regular season, those guys would play a prominent role in a significant game?
It was funny listening to you as you set up some of the plays, Wayne, throughout the game. And you just listened to the personnel package that are out there with Allison spread out, Janice on the other side. And you're listening to these names you're rattling off. Rutkowski in the backfield just going, man.
Who are these people?
6 weeks ago, you were sitting here. And here they are now. They're not only the packages that are out there, but they're the guys in whom we have the utmost confidence. These guys are incredible. It's just amazing how well they've developed.
You know, it's great to get to this point, Wayne, but the Giants bring in Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard, and they've got some weapons on that team, and we're a little depleted now in the defensive secondary. How's that looking?
Yeah, that's the concern, I think, in this game is, the coverage aspect of it. Beckham is playing much better. He was in a bad way when we saw him early in the season, and he was struggling and mentally with all of his, gyrations and everything he does around his game, but he's playing real well right now, and so are the Giants from a defensive standpoint especially. But you're right, the coverage matchups are going to be tough in the secondary, and we really don't know much until we can figure out, okay, is Demarius Randle going to be able to play? What's going to happen with who's going to take Quentin Rollins' place if he can't play and right. That type of thing. So this is the concern going in this week, and this is the challenge for the Packers and Dom Capers.
I don't know how seriously the Giants are taking this game. Do you see after the game where what happened with Beckham and Shepard and a bunch of guys went down to Miami and partied with Justin Bieber? Did you see that?
Why would
they?
They
were all in the club.
Right. They're in the club just and on the boat and everything. Yeah, they just want to play.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel was there too, so it was a real party.
Right. Holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
But they are such a good team, though, Wayne. And the Lambeau Field mystique, I don't think it's unique just to Green Bay that over the span of the last 10-ish years or so in the NFL, home field or home field advantage isn't quite what it used to be. And it's not that teams don't look forward to a home game, but I don't think anybody, especially the Giants, who are so road tested in the postseason, are going, oh my God, we gotta go to Lambeau. There's no way we can win at Lambeau. So for that that team to roll in, they are such a solid psychological team. They don't fear coming in here.
Well, it's football, so I've always felt with as far as home field goes, it has more to do not so much where you play a team, but when you play them and how is that team performing and how are you performing going into that game. The Giants and Packers both have to feel good about the way they're playing coming into this game. And, for the Giants to go to Washington in a game that really meant nothing to them, and to beat the Redskins, who had everything on the line in that game, that was impressive. And even I know the Eagles beat the Giants on a Monday night the week before. I still was impressed with the way the Giants played in that game. The Eagles just happened to have one of those nights. But, this is going to be a challenge, and you're right. I don't think the Giants are going to be intimidated by coming into Lambeau Field in any way, shape, or form. They're just a good football team that's playing well right now, and that's really what counts.
Well, and the Giants head coach has got a pretty good handle on what the Packers do, so that's a factor as well, perhaps, right?
Yeah, well, I think Ben has an idea of he's been away now for a few years. Things change, personnel changes and all that, but I think he knows tendencies and he knows, you know, the different aspects of it. And he's certainly familiar with the surroundings, and I think will impart that on his team. But this is not the Tom Coughlin Giants. They're a little different. They're not quite the same team they were back in those days in the offensive line and the trenches. But defensively, they're a very sound, very good football team, and they're playing well right now. And that's the similarity between this team and those Coughlin teams that came in and beat the Packers and went on to win Super Bowls.
And whenever they come to town, it's like record cold temperatures. So it's going to be like 2 degrees on Sunday. So stay warm, Wayne. All right?
Is it going to be cold?
Yeah, 2 degrees, they're saying right now.
Wow.
But so, that's kickoff temp.
Yeah.
It could be way warmer for tailgating.
It's a dry tool.
You know? Yeah.
It's a dry tool.
Yeah, and if you and Larry stay really close to each other, you'll keep each other warm. No problem.
Supremely.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
Wayne, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. All right, bud?
All right, you bet, guys. Take care.
All right, thanks, sir.